الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه.
Quran Quest, a program on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa al-Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The program is Quran Quest, where we study the verses of the Quran with our dear and beloved brother Habib. Brother Habib, assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Thank you very much for being with us.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
So we are on chapter 71 of the Quran, chapter Noah, Surah Nuh, and we've talked about whether it's Meccan and Medinian. We learned some very nice things from the first two verses. Let's listen to a few verses from the beginning of this chapter, and we'll be back for today's discussion.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
أن اعبدوا الله واتقوه وأطيعون
Saying, worship Allah, fear Him and obey me.
يغفر لكم من ذنوبكم ويؤخركم إلى أجل مسمى إن أجل الله إذا جاء لا يؤخر له
Allah will forgive you of your sins and delay you for a specified term. Indeed, the time set by Allah, when it comes, will not be delayed, if you only knew.
You just listened to a few verses from the beginning of chapter 71 of the Quran, Surah Nuh, and we're going to move to verse 3 of this chapter. So, Brother Habib, God is narrating the story of Noah. He told him, he said, Noah said, O my people, I am a clear warner unto you, that you may worship Allah and be wary of him and obey me. I'm assuming that me here is Noah. Are these three pillars of every religion to worship Allah, be wary of him, and obey the Prophet?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. When you look at these obligations or these commands that Noah puts forward, they are pretty much what the prophets and messengers came forward with. We have that with our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. And of course, you would like kind of question the fact, وَأَطِيعُونِي, to follow my instructions, who am I going to follow? Whose instructions do I follow? How do I know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants?
That's an important question. This is how we ended the last program. How do we know that Noah is telling the truth?
And we answered that. And we said that they knew that he was...
he had already established his honesty.
Exactly. Before. And they knew it deep in themselves. They knew that what they were doing was an innovation. It was something new. It wasn't the path that they took from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keeping in mind that between the time of Noah and Adam, there was, you know, it was kind of close. Their fathers were prophets. Their forefathers were prophets. Mm-hmm. Like this generation of that time.
Their grandparents were prophets.
They knew what was right. They knew what was wrong. It was available mm-hmm. between them. It wasn't something like we lack.
Is this happening before Prophet Noah presented any miracles?
That's the thing. That's what I wanted to say. That no one asked for a miracle from him. Like
That's how clear it was.
That's how clear it was. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath was quick towards the people of Noah.
Wow.
And they were making fun of him, and they would say he's a liar, and they knew that he was truthful. So that's when you look at all these you know points that we mentioned, you understand like to some extent they deserve what they received. They deserve what they got. Not to some extent, like they deserve what they got.
Mm-hmm.
Truly, it's justice that they received.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like how we said that, there's also this point that's very important. And abudullah wattaquhu. to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, the other day I was thinking, I hope I have enough time to say this.
You think a lot,
and I really just thought about this. Like, all right, let's say there are no religions,
mm-hmm.
right? Let's come to this point. There are no religions. It's man-made. How do you keep society in control?
I'm going to keep that question so that our audience can think about it. If there is no religion, how can you keep that society in control? That's actually the question that's been addressed in various articles. It's an interesting question. We'll be back right after the break to answer that question. Don't go away.
إن سألتم عن الله فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and we're studying verse 3 of... we're studying verses 2 and 3 from chapter 71 of the Quran, chapter Noah. So, just before the break, you raised the question. Imagine that there are no religions in the world whatsoever. How do you control the community, the society? How do you implement a system where everyone can thrive in?
Not only thrive in, but justice can be achieved in. And we even have this, like, for those who think, who believe in that, in reincarnation, right? It's like, why do you treat animals good? Huh, because one day you might be reincarnated into this animal. Why do we treat people good? Why do we give mercy and we show mercy? Because you will be reincarnated to this person. So there is this base of like, all right, I should watch out because there's going to be a punishment if I do not do it. Mm-hmm. I will fall into hardship if mm-hmm. I do not, you know, show mercy. I do not, you know, follow some kind of guidelines, some kind of rules.
Mm-hmm.
And even governments nowadays are trying to portray this. How do you stop Habib from stealing and robbing a bank?
Which is something he's been trying to do for years now on this show. Is there at least a plan?
There's like imprisonment,
uh-huh.
cutting off his hand, capital punishment.
Yeah.
Whatever you want, go ahead and claim them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always going to be a way where I can what?
Dodge all of these.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I can dodge them, especially at the time where there were no video cameras.
Yeah, no.
Like if I was in the 80s, right? I was in like 1880s. I was in the beginning of banks in the United States of America. The thing is, that's pretty much stopping me personally as a Muslim, as a believer, as a monotheist. When I believe that there's a day of judgment, and Allah will bring me forward, and there's no running away from that day.
Nothing is missed.
Nothing is missed. Allah's all just. There's no playing around.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no running away from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Sultan, the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over my head. Where do I go? Therefore, law has to be divine in order to achieve that justice that's possible. There are going to be people who don't believe in this, like in these laws, that don't follow these laws in this world. The year after, they will see their punishments. If they have belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this fear, وَاتَّقُوهُ, this fear, they will follow the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will have that fear of the day of judgment. So it's very important, every society, which starts with individuals, to have this taqwa, this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this God-knowing heart.
So let me see if I got that correctly. What you're trying to say is that you can issue as many laws and regulations as you want, but people are always going to find a way to sidestep those rules. The one thing, the only thing.
Justice, to achieve your justice.
Justice.
To save your justice.
Yeah, the only thing that cannot be sidestepped is true faith in God, being truly wary of God subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you understand that there's absolutely no way that you can get away with doing something wrong.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes.
What happens to the notion of intercession? Because there's the belief among the Shias, especially.
The thing is, that before you continue,
yeah,
I want to put it forward, that what the Shia believe is not always truly proven by the sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalam. There could be misunderstandings.
That's, the Shia community believes.
Yes, 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 yes. I put that forward.
Of course, there are different readings to religion.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. The Mughalin, even during the time of the Imam alayhi wassalam, exaggerated this fact to a point where they would not pray. They would do whatever they want. They would get drunk with alcohol and say that we're entering heaven. Why? Because the prayers in the Quran is a man. If you know this man, you'll enter heaven. Who is that man? The Imam of your time. They believed in intercession to that extent, right? The meaning, who says that the Imam alayhi salam will do intercession to you without the person forgiving you?
Mm-hmm.
Like you stole, I robbed the bank, right?
You stole people's
I finally
money.
Achieved what I've dreamed of, right? Who says that the people are gonna forgive me?
Intercession cannot cover people's forgiveness.
Exactly.
It cannot cover for them.
It's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or if the Imam alayhi salam can give intercession by making the people during the Day of Judgment forgive you. Or, who says you're going to die a believer? Yeah, the believer is the one that receives the intercession. If you're robbing banks out there, who says you're a believer?
Mm-hmm.
Even though I have stories about robbers who were believers and they used to know poets. The story of Da'b al-Khazai and the pirates who took him. Anyway, it's a long story, so I won't leave it out.
All right, so the point is that, well, with every sin, there's a danger of falling out of faith altogether. And once you're out of faith altogether, you will not be interceded for.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Let's go for our final break and we'll be back for the final section of this episode. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are going through the verses of chapter 71 of the Quran with Brother Habib. So verse 3 says, worship Allah, be wary of him. We've covered these two, and obey me, the Prophet. So Prophet Noah is telling his people that they should obey him, which I guess is parallel to what our prophet was telling his people, that they should obey him. Might the people think with themselves, so, well, this guy is looking for power, he's trying to be our king?
See, what's he calling you to do?
Mm-hmm.
Is he telling you to worship him? Is he ringing the bell, telling people to come and put grapes in his mouth? Or is instructing them to how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to be a just society? And that's the way to, you know, kind of, you know, figure it out. He's not opening a dukkan. He's not opening a store, right, where he brings in people and brings in money.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, what he's doing is giving the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no other.
Well, some people will say, okay, I'll be careful not to violate God, and I'll try to worship him. Why do I have to obey you? Like, I'll do it my way.
Because how do you know how to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to be worshipped in the manner that he wants to be worshipped in. Who says that what you're doing is correct? Right? We have this, like, the concept of shukr al-mun'am, thanking the person who blessed you. I have a lot of, you know, I have theories about this, you know, this concept. But the fact is, what does it say? It says that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it put it out like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you, thanking a person is equal to
thanking God.
No, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his blessings is an obligation given by your intellect.
Okay. It's because he gave you the blessings.
This is what the human innate pushes us towards. I have some kind of debate with this, you know, I don't totally agree with it, but there's something beautiful about it. And they say that thanking every person or thanking everyone, everything that blessed you, has a specific manners, because sometimes thanking a person in a manner is considered wrong. For example, you gave me your friend's phone as a gift. You wanted to gift me
The phone that you wanted to give Tim.
I'm assuming that I stole that?
No, you didn't steal it from him. You bought a phone. You wanted to gift it to a friend, but then you changed your mind and gifted it to me.
Okay.
You blessed me. You gave me a blessing. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right? But how? I said thank you. That's a good way of saying it. But I don't go next to your friend and say, Hussein, thank you for the phone that you wanted to gift that person and then gifted it to me.
Yeah, okay.
That kind of hurts, right? That's a wrong way to thank someone. Yeah. There are other ways of, you know, there are various
better,
stories.
Better, more civil ways to thank someone.
But there are different stories about how people thank wrongly. Uh-huh. Thanking someone wrongly is available out there. So thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be put in a correct manner. How do we know that manner? By knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By the prophets.
Thank you very much. I'm afraid that's all the time that we have, but that was a very nice discussion. You've been listening to Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. If you missed it, don't worry. You can download an archive of this episode and all the previous ones from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio, Quran Quest. Until next episode, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Quran Quest, the program that answers your Quranic questions.